Hello, friends. There are some new chairs, so pick a seat. Okay, same one? Awesome. Welcome back. Pleasure to see you again. You're looking incredible, as always. No announcements, really, but I do have some unfortunate news today. As you may well have heard, John Wick and Chaosium have parted ways. No, not that John Wick. You might think that the future of 7th Sea is up in the air, and you'd be correct. But rest assured that Chaosium is going to keep 7th Sea in its lineup, so whatever rumor you may have heard about it being sold to a third party or overseas can be put to rest. Looking at you, Reddit. And the writer's room will continue on its course until told otherwise. I can personally say that I am working on a few new ventures with a few favored people. So keep a weather eye on that horizon for maybe an adventure or two. Or even, dare I say it, you can't see it, but I'm looking around to make sure Spoiler Jonah isn't here. A few books dedicated to running the system. All right, anyway, before he shows up and breaks my door down, let's get into the article, shall we? Once again, thank you to all of our officers who help keep the writer's room and this podcast going. You all know who you are. Oh, that reminds me. How was the crow's nest? It is a little chilly up there sometimes. I'll definitely have to invest in some thick wool blankets. For those of you who have gotten a bit lost, The Crow's Nest is extra bonus content available only to our Ko-fi crew, starting at the Scallywag tier. As all of you are aware by now, this is a game that I run for Evan and Patrick and whoever else wishes to play. And sometimes, after game, we have conversations. And unfortunately, because of time constraints, we cut most of that out. We don't really get to reflect on the choices that were made or the decisions that led to those choices. And so, we're going to be doing that. Every off week, meaning the week we are not producing an article, there may be a special bonus episode called The Crow's Nest. It is largely unedited, meaning that it is quite raw in its format, and the topics that we discuss are equally not as polished. But if you're into that sort of thing and you want to hear more about your beloved podcast, for only $5, you can join the Scallywag tier, or more if you're feeling generous, and you can have access to these special episodes. And you get to ask us pointed, specific questions about the previous article. So anything roiling around in your head that you must have answered now and simply cannot wait for the next Notes with the Narrator Community Questions episode, consider the Crow's Nest. Any hoozles, I have rambled on enough about the Ko-fi page. To the article. We last left off with a strange newcomer arriving at Jesse and Angelica's table. So let's pick up there, shall we? Ahem. Article 2, The Cheshire's Grin, Part 1. The camera begins to unfocus and refocus and unfocus again, and we realize that we're looking through a glass of sorts, and as the camera begins to focus again, we see a far table in the corner, and then as we zoom in and get closer, we can hear them clearer.
Who are you referring to?
Suppose that's the question of the day. Captain Akonsa, where's my son?
And the camera finally focuses clearly on Jesse, Angelica, and the newcomer.
Jesse Nakansa, this is Roland McAlbrand.
And his eyes slowly creep up to Roland. Calbrand.
You heard the name before, lad. He told me that he mentioned. And they wouldn't lie about something like that.
Waylon? Or Samwell?
Samwell Flint is no more, and has not existed for some time. Waylon be the name they go by now. Tis the name I gave them.
Not according to the devil.
Well, the devil's a bitch. With heavy footsteps, slowly drags back one of the stools and sits down at the table. By the way, how did you come to learn that?
I learned the hard way. I found out when he was dragged off to hell 6 months ago.
And how exactly did my son wind up in his hands?
I offered him.
He's just staring at you.
A man I've been trying to kill for a long time. Your son, Samwell.
My son, Wayland. You're going to speak his name, get it right.
I did.
No, lad, I don't think you did. And I think you're just as much a fool as my boy.
No. More than a fool, I let them get away with it for so long, without knowing, under my own nose. It was so obvious.
Of course it was. And you're also a fool to trade to the devil the person who would have given their life to you willingly.
The same person that was willing to give my life.
You're still here.
Because I made it that way.
Give the boy a chance, Roland. He's a little tired today.
Well, at least he's aware, Angelica. And Roland reaches into his pocket.
Jesse puts his hand on a pistol.
Yeah, Angelica's hands dip below the table. She's not holding anything, but her fingers are twitching slightly.
Cool the fuck off, you idiot.
I suggest you watch your tone.
And pulls out a stack of letters. Months of letters. All addressed to Roland. All signed from Wayland. Never did get a chance to respond to much of them. You were always flitting about. If you want to know his private thoughts on the matter, you give those a read.
Your son is a fucking liar.
Of course I know my son's a liar. Honestly, he's a damn bad one at it. Listen, I fucking get it, all right? My kid's a fool. You are too, and not for believing that he would have been your friend. Of course he was your friend. You saved each other's lives on more of one occasion, if those letters are to be believed, and by all means, give him a read yourself and prove me wrong.
Why do you make it sound like I owe you something?
You took my son from me, lad.
I took him! I wish I took him.
You let somebody else do the dirty work. You stuck to your family lineage and your history. The Nakonsa name.
You're pissing me off real badly right now.
I've been told I have that effect on people.
I owe you nothing.
Angelica pats Roland on the arm gently. Roland. There's been enough old legends making themselves everyone else's problem lately. Let's not bring up another one now. And she looks at Jesse. Seems to me this matter all boils down to a question of loyalty.
And he points with one large finger at where the wall of charters is below. I know how the charters work, lad. And Wayland's name is still on yours.
This Wayland fellow couldn't have betrayed you. Your stupid charter was signed in blood and bound by sorcery. If he had willingly betrayed you, it would have cursed him. But maybe you've been collecting so many of them yourself lately, you didn't think to look for that. I think by now you'd have realized.
The flickering of the candles is slowed, and the light dims across the second floor as he slams his fist to the table.
You don't get to tell me what I do and don't know.
and the seed of anger in his chest takes hold. Point of note, the seed was in Charles for a while. Mm-hmm. And Jesse was already pretty angry. So the seed came to Jesse in what's the word I'm thinking of? Like fresh dirt and manure and like all that. What am I thinking of?
Fertilized?
Yes, thank you. It's been 6 months.
Yep.
I am very confident in saying that that seed has taken hold. I think it held on fairly recently after he got it.
Yeah. It took root almost immediately. Charles has been 6 months without it.
I'll help you find your shit stain of a son. And I'll help you find him.
Do not get in my way.
I think Angelica would notice the threads around that seed getting drawn tighter and tighter as it rooted itself deeper into Jesse. And knowing what it feels like to carry a seed, she softens her tone a little.
It looks heavy, Jesse. All that weight on your shoulders. Are you really driven by revenge? Because revenge is something I understand.
So much more than that.
Good. Pride, I will not suffer. If you had been a prideful boy chasing after the glory of his long-dead mother, I would have no use for you. But it would seem that you are driven by much stronger motivations, which we will need to chase down our intended prey. So, despite these tensions,
and you see she runs her finger gently through the air like she's tracing an invisible taut wire, I think we three can work together. And she holds her hands out, gesturing at the two of you.
We three have an opportunity to take what we want from our common adversary. Provided you two can resist killing each other, at least for the next few days.
I've got enough black marks on my name already.
Interesting point of order for you, Angelica. You don't see any threads unrolled. In fact, you don't see anything at all.
She would have discovered that about you when they first met. But that's a good note for the audience.
Probably what inspired you to reach out to Roland in the first place.
It might have been a slightly violent encounter at first, given her history with threadless individuals, but we worked it out, I guess.
Zoe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's not so much that Roland is threadless. You know that they're there, you just can't see them.
The last time you tried to read Roland, a glyph came up.
It felt like you ran into a brick wall.
And I'll say, how incredibly rude that is.
Nothing I can turn on and off. Captain Nakansa, make no mistake. My son's hurt a lot of people. And not just in recent years. I don't know what he did to you, or what Samuel Flint did to you. But whatever it was, better men have made more foolish choices.
So can you conjure us a ship?
Jesse looks down to the table.
Yeah, I've got something better in mind. Someone. She's been in my ass. But she'll talk.
I like her already.
Angelica hands the wine bottle to Roland and takes her own glass in her hand to gesture for a toast.
Roland picks up the bottle and contemplates it for a moment.
Doesn't really do anything for me these days.
To desperation, then. And three fools crazy enough to chase it.
Like it or not, all of us are seeking out that bony bastard.
Do you take part in the toast, Jesse?
He does. Drinks the glass, puts it down.
Clinks your glass. And puts the bottle back down on the table. Does not drink.
And where can we find this talker of yours?
Jesse stands up. I'm gonna go talk to Adetokunbo. The next time you want to sit here, just remember, I can get into the third floor.
As you walk away, you hear Roland lean over to Angelica.
The lad can dim the lights and climb the stairs. I'm impressed.
It's a wonder he doesn't trip over his own boots in the dark.
I love you.
The camera is angled at the stairway, and we watch Jesse walk down and head over to the bar, where Adetokunbo is there talking to Lucky Sevens. Adetokunbo stops and looks over at you and leans his arms on the bar. How'd it go?
Went fine.
Adetokunbo raises an eyebrow.
All right. Conversation's intense.
The eyebrow resumes its normal position.
They want to go find him. And they want me to find him.
Well, I don't know about him, but rumor has been circulating about Master Greywall.
Him. Yeah. Yeah. Him. What do you got?
I don't know. Some people said they saw him on some small little island somewhere. Some people said that, you know, he's gone back to Avalon.
What island?
There's a little island in between San Felipe there that a lot of sailors wash up on every once in a while if you get lost at sea. The current just leads directly to the island, which is pretty lucky, but also unlucky because it's not part of a trade route.
Barrison told you what happened, right?
Did she?
I don't know. She's your character.
So she might be my character, but this is knowledge that could potentially be very dangerous for other people to know.
Yeah, I don't know how much Adetokunbo knows.
I don't think Adetokunbo knows anything unless you tell him.
Have I told him anything in the past?
Of the Devil Jonah? No, you've kept all of that extremely secret. People on Aragosa don't tolerate that shit. If they find out, you're dead.
Yeah, I don't have any leads. No one has any leads.
The Bucket of Blood is the hub of all of pirate talk. This is where we get all the rumors from.
The weird thing is no one has anything.
I wish I could help you this time around, but I don't have anything either. The rumor mill ain't been grinding. There's speculation, of course. And then we've got, and he gestures over to the wall of charters where that big fucking open area is where the Crimson Charters were that is not covered up by any other charter and has not been since. Luckily, no other charters have been burning, so it's been kind of dead in a strangely odd and good way.
I need a room on the third floor.
It's yours. Yeah. He hands you the keys.
I need to pull someone. I need... I'm inviting someone.
Sure.
Not by their own choice. Do you like Faye in your bar? I don't know if I've ever asked you that.
I'm not a big fan of them, but Shade visits every once in a while.
Oh, really?
They're pretty partial to the specialty drink I make them. Can't get it anywhere else.
Well, if you're fine with Shade, then that's as much confirmation as I need.
I get you. Do you need, like, a special cage or something?
Salt, maybe? A lot of salt?
Yeah, we got plenty of that.
It's nice to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
I'm sorry I've been away for a while.
You don't gotta apologize to me.
I understand I don't have to. But you're an old friend of mine. I think I owe you that, at least.
Well, you're always welcome back here to wash dishes or something.
I'm not talking about working at Adetokunbo. Nothing about this conversation revolves around me working.
I know, I'm just kidding. And he, like, reaches over and pats you on the shoulder a couple of times.
If this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, luckily you got somebody who's at least somewhat experienced with this kind of thing. Hey, Charles.
Oh no.
Now, Charles hasn't changed much in the 6 months that we last saw him. If anything, there are fewer creases on his forehead, and his jaw looks a little bit more relaxed. He has a bandana on, covering most of his hair, as he is a kitchen worker now, and there are a few new cuts on his knuckles, but those are indicative of a chef rather than a fighter. And he wipes his hands on his apron and pulls a rag off his shoulder to clean them off the rest of the way.
I swear to fuck if someone else says that my stew is garbage.
And then he stops and looks at you, Jesse. And for a moment, there's some disbelief, as if what he's seeing isn't real. And then his jaw sets.
Mr. Radford.
Mr. Nakansa.
You holding up okay?
I am.
You look good.
Thanks.
And he looks over at Adenu Kumo. You know the rules. There's no fighting in my bar.
Kind of leads you over to, not the back room, because that's where the kitchen and stuff is, but like a little side area. And he seriously looks at you, like leans up against the wall, folds his arms.
So you want to tell me how you're really feeling? Because you look like shit.
I haven't slept in 3.5 days, I think. I lost track.
You should probably get around to doing that. You all right?
No.
I thought so.
No, I'm not all right.
Anything I can do?
There's nothing anyone can do at this point. Kind of at the end of a wick here.
End of a wick? You're burning the candle at both ends, sir.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah. Desperation ain't pretty, Charles. Never has been. It's never been a great look on me.
I told you once, desperation doesn't look pretty on anyone. I know. Listen. I've had a lot of time to think and reflect on what happened between us. And the first thing I gotta do is,
And Jesse, you know this nervous tick because Charlotte does it all the time. He rubs his hands together nervously and thumbs over his knuckles, over the scars, until finally he takes a deep breath and looks you dead in the eye.
Jesse, I'm sorry for letting my anger control me. I'm learning to manage it better. You see, working with someone to, what do you say, channel that unchecked aggression somewhere useful.
Oh, Charles.
Now, I'm still not ready to join you at sea yet. Charlotte's better, but not 100% yet. And neither am I. But I hope in the next few months or so to ship out with you again. If you'll have me, that is.
I owe you forgiveness. I never wanted any of that to happen between us. I'm glad you're doing well. And I'm glad you're talking to someone. That's incredible.
It took a lot of convincing. And by convincing, I mean Charlotte tricked me one day into picking up some ingredients at this guy's place. But,
it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth every moment.
Too right. Sorry, I can't say the same for you.
I've been very busy, Charles.
I don't doubt it.
I...
Jesse, you know you can talk to me, right?
He rubs his chest.
Can't be as bad as, you know, hiding the devil on us.
There's so much going on up here. Points to his head. I don't know what it is I'm hoping to hear and learn, but I need closure, I need answers, I need truth, whatever that is, I need anything is better than what I've got in the past 6 months, which is nothing. And now, all of a sudden, I'm being looked for, and these people want me to guide them somewhere, to someone.
He reaches out and grabs your right hand, squeezes it slightly.
I know who you're looking for. Your secret's safe with me, right?
Charles.
Well, I can't tell you where he is. I do know there's been something strange happening here at the Bucket. Charlotte knows about it too. We know when a she is around. It's been visiting the Bucket at night. And while I haven't seen it, Charlotte says it's some kind of cat.
Yeah, okay.
I take it you know who that is?
That's my last-ditch effort.
Well, we better go catch it then.
Yes, we do.
I'm gonna need copper wire. See if Charlotte still remembers the chalk drawings. And a literal bucket worth of salt. And a space. Third floor should be open.
Yeah, Dedekumbo's grabbing the salt for me.
Right, I'll worry about keeping it here. You need to get it here.
Getting her here won't be too much of a problem. It's getting her to talk is what I'm worried about.
Ain't that the trick of it, then? Right, I'll get to work.
I'm sorry I put you and Charlotte in danger. Both of you deserve better than that, and I will never be able to make up for that. But I will do everything I can to try, if you'll let me.
Charles reaches out his hand.
He grabs his hand.
And the second that you do, he pulls you in for an aggressive hug.
Oh.
Come here, you bastard.
How dare you? She's a nice lady.
So I hear. I didn't really get to meet her.
And he holds you there for a good long while, until he breaks away and holds you by your shoulders, looking you in the face.
You already made up for it. Charlotte's here because of you. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing to forgive. But the next time we want to go against some fucking devil or god or whatnot, just tell me, because then I can make sure Charlotte's okay.
Absolutely.
And whatever Theus decides to throw at you, I'll be right behind you.
They will run for the hills when you get there.
They fucking better if they know what's good for them.
Gives you a nice big hug again, pats you on the shoulder twice, and heads it upstairs to go prep the space for the Fae that you're going to capture. Camera follows Charles upstairs, got this big bag of salt over his shoulder. It leaves off on the second floor to kind of slowly pan over to a certain gorgeous woman and certain very grumpy old man. Very salty man. In fact, there's so much salt, Charles actually walks over and like takes some from it. Yeah, we zoom in on you guys.
So that's the kind of thing that we're doing today. Well, I suppose at least I know how to deal with that.
You don't really know how to deal with people like our friend the captain, though.
You know what the ironic thing is? He reminds me very much of Wayland when he was younger.
That could be part of the problem. He's raw, Roland.
Aye.
He's about to break. And if we break him before he helps us find who we need to find...
I take it you've seen something, then.
I see a lot of things.
So you've told me, including things that aren't there that's supposed to be.
I like you, Mr. McAlbrand. If I had my own ship here, I'd offer you a contract. But don't mistake our rapport for friendship. I have my priorities. Keep yourself in check around Nakansa. I will not lose my chance to get what I'm owed because of two knuckle-headed idiots who cannot control their tempers.
Noted.
You back us up with that salt magic. I'll take care of the Cuervo Nino.
You know, perhaps had I cut back on that salt when raising my son, we wouldn't be in this mess.
A little honey can go a long way.
Well... no sense in trying to fix the past. All we can do now is move forward, eh?
She turns away from you and looks off into nowhere for a minute.
Aye. As long as we learn from it.
Too true, Miss Angelica, too true. I'll be careful with the boy. I'll be... softer.
If those big hands of yours can manage that...
Trust me, these big hands are, well, they're not as rough as you might think.
Careful, McAlbrand. I'm a married woman.
Oh, no. And I, a celibate man.
uh,
I think they toast, and that's the end of that scene.
Absolutely.
I think at that point, Jesse comes up.
Lady and gentlemen, I have someone for you to meet.
And then we'll smash cut to the room.
Are we smashing or are we cutting?
Oh, it's both.
At the same time?
It's a smash cut.
What a fucking innovation.
Are we cutting with a smash? Like with a hammer?
Like a pork tenderloin.
Like a pork tenderloin.
pulled pork. Love it.
Camera transitions on the ceiling in the third floor of a private room, and we are at a bird's eye view. There is a salt circle inside of a copper circle inside of a bunch of chalk sigil drawings, not of runes, but strange, seely script. And there is a chair, and in the center of that chair is someone sitting in it. As the camera starts to angle down, we see Jesse and Angelica and Roland in this room. So the three of you standing in the room in front of this person who has a burlap sack over their head. They are tied to the back of the chair, wrists bound, ankles bound, waist bound. And the chair itself has been temporarily bolted to the floor so that the person in it can't lean it back. And so they are, for all intents and purposes, bound to this chair and bound to this spot. Their head is kind of just lolling from side to side as they are humming a little tune to themselves.
Jesse walks over and stands in front of her for a moment, pulls a bag off of her head.
And revealed to the camera is Mad Maeve. Now, Mad Maeve hasn't looked better. She is missing her right eye. She has not covered it. There's no eye patch. There's no nothing. It's just an empty socket. And there are these like black tendrils that are leading down away from it. Almost like makeup, but it's slightly moving whenever you look at it. She has scars on her face now, as though someone has taken some kind of belaying pin and beaten her to the point where her skin broke on her cheeks and at the bottom of her jaw. She's missing a front tooth, but has gained a second pair of canine teeth. And her eye, it is so diluted that there's barely any green. And her hair, which used to be bound in a blonde, unkept braid, is shorn in places, as though people have just kind of grabbed it and cut it wherever they grabbed it.
Long time no see.
She tries to lean as far forward as she can in front of your face.
He doesn't move.
And she smiles big and wide.
Nice to see you too. It's been a while.
Busy.
I can tell. I could carry the bags underneath those eyes that you have.
Oh, no, they are far too heavy for you, my dear. You also kind of look like shit.
Oh, so much has happened. And I have you to thank for that.
You have me to thank for that?
You ruined everything.
He turns around to face Angelica and Roland. The both of you heard that, right?
Roland does not respond. Roland is staring at Mad Maeve.
Angelica is similarly tight-lipped right now.
It's because of you that my deal with Shoma went south, and now I owe him. And it's also because of you that I was... torture is a fun word. By race. Because I disobeyed the charter.
He turns back. Go on.
Who are your friends?
This is Roland McElbrand and Angelica de la Sombra.
She leans around as far as she can to try and see who is there, and at first, she leans over to Angelica, and Angelica, you get a good look at this woman.
Yeah, what's her threads look like?
Oh my fucking god. Oh, wow. Have you ever given a cat a ball of yarn and let them play with it as much as they possibly can to the point where you might have been able to use it for a project at some point, but now it's just so obliterated and tangled that there's no possible way that you could save it, and so it just belongs to the cat now?
Mm-hmm.
Take that, times it by 5, and add 6 other strings that don't belong to Audra that are forcibly entangling them.
Coming from her or severed that are just mixed up in it?
Severed that are in it.
Mm.
They are the strands that are manipulating it to be as tangled as it is.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Looking at it hurts. It's not going to cause you any damage or anything, but it is like a visual headache.
All the severed threads are distinct?
Yes. There's one that you recognize immediately. Because you carry it. And so does Jesse.
Okay.
It is tainting her thread and pulling it in a direction that is looped around 3 other strands. All of them are blood red. Like if you touched one of these, your hand might come away red.
Ooh. Okay. She makes note of what they all look like, but then she'll kind of turn her face away and blink a couple times.
And then she leans over to look at Roland and stares at you in the eye because she only has one.
As she does, we see the camera cut harshly back to Roland, but the camera's kind of coming from floor level. And we see the top of Roland's face in shadow in the darkness of the room. His fists begin to tremble and clench. And we see a single tear fall from his face and hit the floorboards.
Audra.
Roland starts moving slowly forward.
Roland.
How? And then faster.
Get it together, McAlbrand.
How?
And then runs right at her. Steps over the line of salt without disturbing it. And his hands shoot up. And for Jesse and Angelica, it almost looks as if Roland's hands are going right for her throat. The moment that his hands reach her face, they just gently cup underneath her cheeks. Roland brings her into an embrace and falls to his knees. Maeve feels the saltiness of the tears start to sting the open wounds on her face.
How?
Can you let go of me?
It's me.
I don't know you. You look familiar, though. In fact, you look so familiar. I wonder if you know this person. Samuel? Do you know where he is?
Because he's mine.
Roland squeezes Maeve's shoulders before bringing his right hand up behind her head and just pushes their foreheads together.
When you do that, you're going to take a wound for this. Mad Maeve headbutts you.
As it connects, Roland will absolutely take the wound and just holds her head there, blood dripping down his face from the now open gash, pushes her head and kisses her on the forehead.
I'm going to find whoever did this to you.
Let go.
And I promise.
Don't say it! Don't you say anything else!
Maeve begins to twitch violently, and from her shadow on the floor comes 2 figures. One is constantly wailing and crying. The other you have seen before masked on her face. This shadowy creature with pale white orbs as eyes and a manic grin across her face. All 3 voices start to speak a mantra. Audra's voice in reverence, Maeve's voice in mockery, and the she's voice in anger as she violently struggles to free herself from her bonds. And then all 3 of them begin to laugh.
What
swiftly backing away. Again, almost second nature, being careful not to break the salt circle.
Two knives appear in Angelica's hand. You missed how they got there, but she is on edge and wielding some in an instant.
Jesse puts his hand out just ever so slightly so that Angelica can see.
She will give Jesse a reluctant nod and put those two daggers away. But she's already pulled another one into her hand behind her back, just in case.
Where did you find her?
Roland.
Where did you find her?
Jesse turns and walks over to him, leans into his ear. I will tell you everything later. Need you to get yourself together.
She's not to come to harm by our hands.
Roland.
Do you understand, Captain Nakonsa? I'm begging you, please.
Roland.
She's my child, Jesse.
And our ticket to your other one.
This woman is not your daughter right now. And I know her better than you do. So I need you to trust me.
Sharp inhale of breath.
I will do.
Thank you.
And steadies himself.
Turns back.
Audra comes out of the fit.
Sorry about that. Got a little carried away there.
All right, sweetheart, let's talk.
Let's talk. You know how this works.
Sure. There's definitely one thing I want to know first.
What do you want to know?
It's kind of the important reason why I brought you here. Okay? Him.
You're going to have to be way more specific. There are many hims in this world.
The devil himself.
Jonah! What about him?
Where is he?
That's a good question. Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
I would like to know, yes.
I would also, maybe, like to not be in this chair. I don't know where you got these bindings from, but they hurt! And I'd really love to not be in pain right now.
Do you know where he is?
That depends. Can you get me out of this chair?
That depends on if you know where he is.
I won't say a word until you release at least one of my limbs. How about that?
Jesse doesn't say anything.
Are her feet chained up?
Oh, yeah.
Chains or ropes?
Ropes, specifically.
Jesse's going to untie one of her legs. Can I undo one of your bindings on your leg?
That would be really nice. This chair is very uncomfortable, and I would like to stretch a bit.
Roland's going to volunteer to do it.
Control yourself, Roland.
Angelica puts herself between you and Maeve. If you need to go downstairs.
No.
I'll take care of her.
No. I should be here.
I'm only going to take one of them off. Okay?
Okay.
Is that agreeable?
That's so nice of you, thank you.
I could be a lot nicer, actually.
I'm sure you could. You want to tie her leg?
Sure. He unties her right leg.
I'm spending a danger point.
Okay.
She reaches her leg out as far as she can, hits the copper with the tip of her boot, and breaks it. Roland, you know that this isn't enough to break her out of it, but it does ruin the integrity of the seal.
Yep.
Angelica, you can see the cage around her right now, like a physical thing. It's not threads. They're literally like steel bars. And what Audra has just done is take the pins out of each hinge. All she has to do is just push it, which is representative of the salt circles.
Roland always carries a bag of salt with him. Always. If possible, I would like to take the bag of salt out and fix the circle.
It's copper.
It's the copper, though, that broke, right?
There's a ring of, like, copper wire that isn't tied together.
Oh, I see.
I was actually going to introduce this as the risk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Could do that.
So let's head into the writer's room while we set this up. Alrighty. So normally what I do is I ask your approaches first, but for this instance, since we've kind of set the scene already, I'll go ahead and read to you what the risk is. The risk is called Of Madness in Martyrs, and it is a dramatic risk. Capturing Mad Maeve wasn't painless or easy. You've secured her in a prison, but it will not hold her indefinitely. The time you have to interrogate her is finite, and because of her unique situation, the line of questions or method of asking her could potentially do irrevocable harm to her. Mechanically, if you choose to take the bad cop route, it will make it more difficult to redeem her character later on. It will take one raise to ask a single question. If you tack on a raise to that, the answer will be clear, which means it won't be encrypted like she bullshit. Tack a third raise on, and it's true. It's an honest answer. So if you want a true and uncrypted answer from Mad Maeve, you need to spend three raises. She will also give you information regarding the Crimson Fleet's plans. Rhys, Stroud, Jonah, her own ship, the Song de Fu, and anything else you can think of. But it will be three raises to get that information out of her initially.
So, just clarification. If we want a clear, true answer to a question about any of those things, that is six raises?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be three raises to get a clear, honest answer regarding any topic. It's going to be five raises to get a clear, honest answer on these specific topics. Crimson Fleet's plans, Rhys, Stroud, Jonah, Song de Fu.
Song de Fu, help me with the lore, is the ship that she has possession of now because of the magic they did?
That is exactly correct.
Cool.
The savior advantage and empathy-based approaches and raises will encourage Audra to break free of the madness of Mad Maeve. It's going to take three raises to get her out. Shut Mad Maeve away for a little bit.
I can definitely help with that.
But she does not have the strength to fight it off for long. You've got three things that you can ask free and clear of any taxation. As established in the narrative, when Roland said, "I promise," she went full mad, crazy creature. So if you want her to stay sane, you need to keep that in mind. Don't use words like "I promise," don't try to make a deal with her, and don't tell her your name. Or don't use her name. She stuff. No consequences, really, or opportunities inherent in a dramatic sequence. Also remember that you can spend your raises to establish things in the narrative. I obviously have some veto power. Very rarely will I veto you. It's mostly yes, but, yes, and. But you can use them as you would in any normal dramatic sequence where you can establish facts and cool things like that. Evan, if you could do me a favor and just read the Savior Advantage for us and remind me as well.
Yeah. When you take a risk in the direct pursuit of redeeming a villain and turning them towards a path of heroism, you can spend a hero point in place of spending a raise for any action. If an action would require multiple raises because of improvisation, being unskilled, being under pressure, etc., you only need to spend one hero point to accomplish it. Because you are not spending raises for these actions, it remains your turn. This means that in effect, so long as you have hero points, you can continue to take actions back to back if every action that you take is directly related to the redemption of a villain.
All right. So when you use the Savior Advantage and Audra is on the scene, for however many hero points you want to spend, she can stay for as long as you have hero points for. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
So with all that, what approach are you using to interrogate Audra / Mad Maeve?
I'm going to go with resolve and empathy.
Sounds like a good plan there.
I'm going with wits and intimidate.
That makes a lot of sense. And Jesse?
I'm going to choose sailing in broad.
Oh, boy. Get her aboard the Rose.
All right, you're coming with us. Wait, no, what?
I'm going to make sure all her answers set sail.
I hate it.
Roll credits.
Oh, fucking damn it.
Oh, man. What's funny is that I was originally going to choose empathy because right now, Mad Maeve is Jesse's best friend out of the people in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She knows you.
And he's like, oh God, finally someone I know, even though she's crazy. Oh, it's so nice to see her.
Oh my God, someone I can actually have a conversation with that I don't want to strangle at this point in time.
I'm going with panache and empathy.
Love it, love it. Gather your dice and everything.
Would you consider any of this calling her out?
That was like the first thing I was going to tell you. I was like, hey, you know your virtue that we always have trouble with? That's happening today, buddy.
Hell yeah. Okay, I'm totally activating Vengeful.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Patrick.
Would any of this for Roland fall under the First Blood quirk? Earn a hero point when you face the consequences of your past?
This is not the consequences of your past. This is the consequences of Waylon's past.
That's fair. I got you.
God, not being on the ship, not having Lucy, not having any of this stuff sucks.
Right? You're so used to it.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything that's going to give me any more raises in this situation. Or any more dice, I should say.
All right, cool.
Hey, Zoe.
Yeah.
Tell me something, please.
I'll tell you something. What
if I am adjusting my reading spectacles here enough, to which I see my hubris, would you consider that I am bringing up old grudges or bad feelings leading me to trouble?
You know, I'll tell you something. Are you listening? You got your listening ears on? Okay.
Heaven, I swear to God.
Alrighty, consider those bitches on.
You won't need eagle eyes to see that I'm going to let you take that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Could I activate my virtue?
What is your virtue again?
Commanding.
Oh, okay, okay. Read that off for us, please.
Well, the mechanical effect is that all other heroes in the scene get a hero point.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm activating it for the flavor of commanding.
Okay. Yeah, take another hero point, guys.
Fucking dope.
But I will add the caveat that when I say Angelica is, quote, commanding, I'm going to throw a little narrative weight behind that.
Oh, that's fine. No, absolutely. Boys, I'm sorry. She gave you a hero point. You got to do what she said.
That's cool. That's great. You know what?
I have to look it up, but I think I can activate Helping Hand.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah. Help those hands.
My God. I don't have it written down. Oh, no.
Either of you can help me out, and I can get an automatic raise, which I will need. Helping Hand gives 4 raises as opposed to 3, right?
4 dice, I believe.
Well, for me, if she's helping me, that's 4 raises because of
Vengeful. Oh, right, because of Vengeful.
Is it in the pirate book?
Helping Hand is in the Lands of Golden Fire. It is activate this advantage to assist an ally, giving them 3 bonus dice for a risk without spending a hero point. You can only activate it once per session.
Oh.
So, without spending a hero point, you can give Jesse 3 extra dice. And then, you can spend a hero point and give Jesse 3 more raises.
What I can do is spend Helping Hand on Jesse and then give Roland a hero point to give them 3. Because I start with 2, so I'll still have 1 left.
Yes. So, both of you take 3 extra dice. In Jesse's case, because you have activated your virtue, it is 3 extra raises.
I'm happy with that.
Natalie, this is your cool hero point rock.
Wow.
Look at that cool rock.
Dropped my rock.
I did. I could use the salmon-y one that is larger, but I'm going to use the cool one that I just dropped, which was saved by the bell.
That's a rock fact.
Sure is. You better believe it.
I'm so ready to roll these bones. They're just poised in my hand.
I'm so ready not to roll jack shit.
How many raises do you have?
I only have 7 currently.
Oh, that's not bad, though.
Yeah, it's not great.
7 raises to start?
7 raises, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't even rolled yet, dude. I have 8 dice.
Look, Natalie, I've had 20 before, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Shit gets wild.
And that hasn't happened yet.
You currently hold the record.
I do. I hold the writer's room record.
Roland, are you going to be helping Angelica at all?
Hmm.
Remember that you can also spend hero points on yourself to grant 1 bonus die.
I think I am going to spend a hero point, A, because I only have 2 coins with me to act as representation for the hero points, and it's just easier for me to keep track of it that way.
Where did they go, Patrick? Where did your hero points go, pal?
I don't know. They were in my dice box, and now they're not. Now I'm very confused and a little concerned.
Where'd my gifts go, punk?
They're around here somewhere. We'll find them. I think because Angelica does not have the history with Audra / Mad Maeve that Jesse or Roland have, I think that display of that deep parental love that Roland just showed strikes something within Angelica of, you know, there's this flash of, what if that were my wife in this position? And how would I be reacting right now if that was somebody that I deeply care about? Wouldn't I do everything that I could to keep them safe, even if they had seemingly gone far past the point of no return?
It's so funny that you mention that.
It is, because I know nothing of Angelica's story so far. I know absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Angelica, take 3 extra dice.
I've got them.
Okay. I do believe that is it. So go ahead and roll those bones. Jesse, you are not rolling bones because you activated your virtue. Everything counts as a raise.
I'm giving you the ADR, or the ASMR.
Look at those sexy bones.
Dice. Ooh, okay. We'll take it.
Roll die.
Can you do that?
Yeah, if you have rank 3 in a skill, you can reroll one die.
Yes, I do.
Do you have rank 3 in empathy?
Yep.
If you have rank 4...
15s explode. Okay.
15s don't explode. 15s make 2 raises.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was reading the...
You have rank 4 in empathy?
I do have rank 4 in empathy.
Where's that been?
We'll get there, man. We'll get there.
You're not his son or daughter.
I'm close enough.
Do you know where that empathy's been? Stopping him from killing you on sight and forgiving you for doing what you did to Wayland. It's not going to stop him giving you shit.
All right, do your math.
I did it.
You did it? What'd you do?
I did tricky math and now I don't have any remainders.
Oh, shit. Tricky math.
It's tricky.
SSX tricky?
2 10s, a 6 and 2 2s, then a 7 and 3 1s, then an 8 and a 5. That's 5.
Fuck.
Sorry, Zoe.
Sorry, Zoe. I re-rolled and I also did some rearranging.
Oh, fuck off. Ah, fine.
That's what
that
mechanic is there for. It's a fucking soul me. All right. All right.
What do you got?
So we got.
Speaking of the mic.
We got a 9 and a 1, that's 10. We got another 9 and a 1, that's 10. We got a 4 and a 6, that's 10. We got a 10,
which is also a 10.
Then we got a 7 and a 3, and there was one remainder afterwards, which was just a 3, but I re-rolled it. Now it's a 5, and that's 15, so that's an additional 2 raises.
Ooh.
Bada bing.
I got a 10. I got a 10. I got a 10.
You're a bitch.
I got a 10.
Oh my god.
I got a 10.
Because he didn't need to roll.
I got a 10. And what do you know, I got a 10. Holy shit, count him up, baby. That's what I call 7 10s. Bring that to your local casino. Fucking bet with those odds.
Put that in your bucket and set it on fire. There is no initiative order in a dramatic sequence, and Mad Maeve herself does not have any raises. But I do have 2 danger points. So, without further ado, I do believe the time has come, the narrator said, to play our many roles.
Hi, friends. I know that I said that it was time for us to play our many roles, but I may have fibbed just a little bit. I'm afraid that's the end of the article. That's all that's written. I apologize for misleading you there. Any hoozles, join us next time, and we'll see what happens with Mad Maeve. I'm sure everything will work out. I hope everything will work out. I trust everything will work out. Until then, remember that a little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. Be safe and well, my dearest friend.